Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is astrology. And to talk with me about this topic, I have Marsha Montenegro. Let me give you a little bit of a background about Marsha. Marsha has appeared on numerous broadcasts talking about the occult, astrology, and all that type of New Age stuff. Some of these broadcasts include Unshackled, radio broadcast that I like, Bill Bright's World Changers, Janet Parshall's America. Her story was even dramatized by Dr. D. James Kennedy's ministry. She graduated with honors from Florida Presbyterian College with a degree in literature. She's currently pursuing a master's in apologetics. She's presently the head of Christian Answers for the New Age, and she's also an upcoming author. So tell us a little bit about your ministry, Marsha.
Okay. Yes, Christian Answers for the New Age has a twofold purpose, the first of which is to educate Christians on the New Age and the occult, to equip them to witness and to be more discerning. And the second part of the ministry is to reach out to people in the New Age and the occult with the love and truth of Christ.
All right. Now, we did a whole show on Marsha's testimony, but we're not going to be able to cover all that today, but I did want you to give a little bit about your background.
Okay.
and how you became involved in astrology.
I was very interested in astrology even back in high school, and I was not a Christian, although I had gone to church, and I was not in a Christian family either. But I was interested in astrology, Eastern religions, psychic stuff, and I eventually, several years after college, studied astrology in Atlanta, Georgia, and became a professional astrologer. So I was a practicing professional astrologer for 8 years. I even taught astrology for over 5 years. I was president of the Atlanta Astrological Society from June 1989 to June 1990. And I was chairperson of the Board of Astrology Examiners in Atlanta, Georgia. So I was very, very involved.
So now that we know you're qualified, here comes the next question. What is astrology?
Okay, astrology is the belief that the position of the sun, moon, and planets at the time and place of birth represent your path in life. They represent who you are, your potential, often your past lives as well, and your spiritual journey in this lifetime. So the astrologer believes that the astrological chart is the blueprint of your soul.
So basically, you can read my chart and tell me about my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you tell me just about my entire life in general, or can you tell me about, you know, like we look in the newspaper, can you tell me about what's going to happen today just by the arrangements of my planets when I was born?
What the astrologer would do in that case, they would look at your birth chart, which would be the main essence of when they do astrology. That would be the chart they would refer to. But they would look, for example, if they wanted to see something today, they would look at the position of the moon, which is very fast moving, and the closer planets like Mercury and Venus, because those move faster. They might look and see where some of the larger planets are, just to see if they've reached some kind of crucial point in your chart, to see what's going on in a larger sense. But for today, they would look at the faster moving planets and the moon.
Okay.
If they wanted to look and see what's going to come up for you in the next 6 months to a year, they would look at more the outer planets like Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and Saturn.
Right.
And possibly Jupiter.
You were telling me in your testimony that this isn't trivial stuff to do astrology. It's not something you can just wake up and do.
No, it takes a lot of study. It's very complicated because for example, when people hear the word astrology, first of all, a lot of people get it mixed up with astronomy. So I should point out that astronomy is the scientific study of heavenly bodies and outer space, basically. And that's totally different from astrology, because astronomy is, you know, it's what the astronomers are doing, like at NASA or whatever, when they figure out, okay, how long is it going to take this rocket to reach Mars,
right?
You know, and all the mathematical calculations that go into that. I mean, I guess that's more than astronomy. That's also engineering. But astronomy is the scientific study of the planets and outer space, the galaxies. Astrology is a belief system that believes that the planets have a meaning and the sun and the moon have a meaning behind them. So they're not just looking at Venus and saying, oh, Venus is X number of miles from the Earth, which is what the astronomer does,
right,
and takes, you know, X number of months or years to go around the sun. They're saying, oh, Venus represents relationships in your life. So the astrologer's looking at the meaning of the planet. So that's one big difference. And the other thing people think about when they hear astrology is they think about the horoscope column in the newspaper.
Yeah, exactly.
And the horoscope column is not, it's based on astrology, but it's kind of a dumbed down astrology because it's very general and it just gives what today is going to be for these 12 different zodiac signs, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, and so on. And, you know, when you really think about it, they've got everybody all divided up into just 12 groups.
Right.
And I don't know what the population of the United States is. Is it like 2 billion or something? I don't even know. Or is it 1 billion?
United States?
Yeah, I don't know.
United States, I think it's maybe like 300 million or something.
Oh, I'm really off, aren't I? What's 2 billion?
Maybe you're thinking about China.
2 billion is like world population or something. Okay, so 300 million. So you think you're going to divide up 300 million people into 12 categories, and they're all going to fit those 12 categories.
Right.
However, astrology is the horoscope column is based on the belief in astrology, because usually the people who write that are looking at the movement of the moon and maybe Mercury and Venus because they're faster moving, and they're comparing it to those 12 sun signs. However, the professional astrologer, and astrologers may also write a horoscope column, but what they're really doing is seeing people and looking at that person's birth chart, which is the picture of their planets at the time they were born. And they're looking at the chart is divided into 12 pieces like a pie, and those are called houses. And each house represents an area of life. So, you know, house number one is the self and the ego. And house number eight is money and power and sex. And the ninth house is travel and higher learning. And 10th house is career. So each of them has their area of your life. And they're looking at the planets. And so the sun in the first house would be different than if the sun is in the 7th house or the sun is in the 10th house. Okay, there's going to be a different interpretation. Plus, they're looking at the sign the sun is in. So if the sun's in Leo in the 10th house, that's different than the sun in Pisces in the 10th house. And then they're looking at the signs of the zodiac on the edge, which is called the cusp of each house. So that means something. And they're looking at the distance between the planets. So if the sun is opposite Pluto, for example, that's very meaningful in astrology. If the sun is 60 degrees from Pluto, that means something else. If the sun is next to Pluto, that means, yeah, there's yet another interpretation. So they believe all these planets represent energies and potentials in your life, and they look at how they're relating to each other in the chart and what house they're in as to the area of life they're affecting. And so that's kind of really, I left a lot out. That's really kind of a basic thing.
Complicated enough. I mean, you already lost me.
And so the astrologer is really, really, really has to know their stuff if they're really doing astrology. And that's why in Atlanta you're required to take an exam to practice legally in the city limits. It's not somebody just sitting there kind of making things up like, oh, you know, Jupiter's in Leo, and so you're going to have good luck with money or something. It's not like that at all. If you're talking to a professional astrologer.
Right.
So now, it is complicated.
What's the history of astrology? Where did it come from?
People don't know exactly, but there are theories, and based on what some archaeologists and historians have found, they believe it began way back with the Chaldeans, and they noticed they were studying the sky. Of course, the sky to early people was very important because that's where the rain came from, and that's where, you know, snow right. came from or whatever. And they noticed the lights in the sky, of course, which they called stars. And they noticed some of these lights didn't move very much, and others moved in a regular pattern. Of course, those were the planets. Aside from the sun and the moon, which, of course, they thought the sun was moving because it looked like it's moving around the Earth. And because they noticed these regular patterns, they believed that these particular lights, or they called them stars, but they were really planets. They didn't know what a planet was. Were moving in a regular pattern because they were gods, or the homes of gods. And so they became associated with deities. And they were given characteristics. And people began to correlate them with events on Earth. So they would say, oh, yes, you know, the last time we saw this planet, well, they didn't say planet, but this star, this god was here, you know, we had war or whatever. So they started correlating them with events on Earth and with the zodiac, the fixed belt of the zodiac constellation, Aries, Taurus, Libra, and they started connecting them together. And it's really, you know, I don't know if everybody, if anybody really understands how it all came about. And there, it underwent a lot of changes along the way. And at first, the astrologers at that time were also astronomers because they were also doing mathematical calculations of the position of these planets. And so they were the early astronomers, but they were astrologers as well because they believed there was a meaning there. And they gave their advice only to kings and rulers. You know, you didn't go to an astrologer way back then and get your chart done. It was the king, and really it was more like they were reading the planets as though they were signs or omens. And so it was a very early form of astrology. Now it got more developed. Some people believe in, like, by the Arabs, and then came into, and by the Persians, and came into Greece. And Greece, the early Greece, did not have astrology. They resisted it because they were very scientific and logical oriented. But towards the end, the latter part of Greece, and I'm not a historian, so I'm speaking very general terms, they did accept astrology. And astrology in Greece became, it took on the Greek names and everything, and it took on a more personalized form because Greece is where they started doing charts for individuals that weren't rulers. You didn't have to be a ruler.
Okay.
So that's where astrologers started actually looking at the planets at birth. And it was for the rich people, because only the rich people could afford it. But they would go, you know, to the rich people when their child was born and give them their fate according to the planets. And now, meanwhile, in India and China, it was developing on its own in a slightly different way. In the astrology in India has some similarities to Western astrology. There are some differences. But astrology in China, for example, is completely different, and I really don't know how it developed there. I don't know the history of that at all. And it's a very different form of astrology. But in the West, as it developed here for the individual, that became sort of the form, and of course that Rome took on a lot of the culture of Greece, and so you had astrologers in Rome and Roman culture, and that's mainly what our astrology in the West comes from.
Okay. And I know you speak all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
In your view, how does the average Christian view astrology?
The average Christian, to me, seems to, generally speaking, view astrology as either just junk, kind of like a game or something that somebody made up, or they think it's intriguing, and they read the horoscope column.
Yeah.
And you know, they think that it's kind of fun to read the horoscope column and see what it says for today, and they think it's harmless. So I think that now there's some Christians who see it as an evil thing, but I really don't come across that as much as I do the other, where they see it as a harmless kind of game, almost like a parlor game kind of thing.
And what do you tell them?
And what I tell them is astrology is an ancient occult art form. It's an occult practice, and it's a form of divination. And in Deuteronomy 18:10-12, God lists all the practices of the occult, and of course divination is listed there, and throughout the Bible divination is condemned. There are other places. Divination, which a lot of Christians, adult Christians, don't know that word, and the kids know the word. You know why the kids know that word today?
Why is that?
Because Harry Potter takes a class called divination.
Ah.
So kids, it's interesting now, when I go talk to youth groups or something and I say, how many of you know what divination is, almost all of them know Whereas before Harry Potter, they didn't know. But adults still don't know, because most of them haven't read Harry Potter, so they don't know that. But divination is trying to get information through some kind of supernatural or paranormal means. You're getting information beyond the normal ways you get information. And usually it's using some kind of tool or reading a meaning into something. For example, reading a meaning into the lines on the hand. Palm reading is divination. Tarot cards are divination. Astrology is divination. Using a pendulum, asking questions to get an answer, you know, and see how the pendulum swings. Yeah. That's divination. So anything where you're trying to get an answer, reading a meaning into something, or some kind of, you know, you're going to think there's some kind of answer by asking the pendulum or whatever, that's all divination. Tea leaf reading is divination. I Ching. You can come up with all kinds. In the Old Testament, some of the forms that are mentioned are, they call it casting arrows, and I've read some commentaries. They think that they would throw these arrows on the ground, and the pattern that they formed, you know, would give an answer. Or they would look at the liver of dead animals. Mm. And they had different ways of doing divination, but cultures throughout the world, since time began almost, have done divination. And astrology is a form of divination. It is not from God. It is a man-made divination, and it is totally condemned. So it's an occult thing. And what I tell people is, when you're reading the horoscope column, you are reading something written by somebody who, first of all, believes that there is truth in astrology, and second of all, is probably basing what they're writing in that horoscope column on the position of the moon. The moon changes signs every 2.5 days. So it may be in Libra, then maybe tomorrow it's switching to Scorpio. It'll be there for 2.5 days, then it'll go on to Sagittarius. So it moves very quickly. And then they may be looking at Mercury and Venus and maybe Mars, and kind of combining all that together and saying, okay, the moon's in Libra, Mars is in Leo, and Venus is in Aries, and this person is a Gemini. So for the Gemini horoscope for today, I'm going to say this and this and this. A lot of people think that the people writing the horoscope columns are just making it up. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that never happens, because I don't know all the people who write the horoscope columns. But in my experience, the people who write the horoscope columns, and I actually wrote one for a short while in Atlanta, most of the people who write that know enough astrology. They're either astrologers or they know enough about it to put in an interpretation based on astrology. So when somebody's reading that, they are getting the views of someone who has a belief system that has been condemned by God and is completely opposed to God.
Now, you did this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it accurate? Is there any accuracy to it? I mean, you would do this. It mm-hmm. would seem to me that if you did it day after day after day, you wouldn't keep doing it if you didn't think that there was actually something to it.
Right, right. Yes, I wouldn't have kept doing it if it just didn't seem to have any meaning at all, or right. didn't seem to work. You're right. Yeah, it did seem to have meaning, and there are several reasons that I think that it seems to work. One is that when the astrologer is looking at the chart, there are all kinds of options in there, and the astrologer is presenting various options to the client. So, you know, the astrologer might say, well, you know, it looks like you had a distant relationship with your father. Maybe he traveled a lot. Maybe he was emotionally withdrawn. Maybe he worked late hours. You know, maybe he just wasn't around home. He was off, you know, playing golf or something. You know, so and then the person will say, you know, that is so true. My father worked all the time, and he was hardly ever home, so I didn't have much interaction with him, you know. So you're presenting these options, and the astrologer is presenting them based on what they see in the chart. Now, they don't see, oh, the father's working always, the father's working late or whatever, but they see what they think is a distance there. Okay. Now, the thing is that applies to a lot of people, especially growing up in homes before maybe the last 10 or 20 years, when you have more women working, you had homes traditionally where the father was the main breadwinner. So that was a pretty common situation for a lot of people. Now, sometimes the other reason it seems to work is that the person the client, has invested money and time into this astrologer, and they don't want to hear the, they don't want the astrologer to fail. They want the astrologer to succeed. They want the astrologer to tell them things that they think relate to their life. Nice. So they're going to remember the things that seem to relate to their life and forget the things that don't. So they come away remembering the things that seem to relate or relate to their life, and they think, wow, that was really accurate. I think another reason that it seems to work, or that in some cases it does quote-unquote work, but it's not because of astrology, is I think there is a demonic power that the astrologer has opened themselves up to, and I think the client as well has opened themselves up to that.
Yes. I don't think a lot of people talk about that enough.
No, they don't. But the astrologer, basically, by doing astrology, has opened a door to the demonic and has opened themselves to receiving information demonically. Now, it is not hard. I have no problem believing that demons can know things about people,
right,
present and past.
Right.
They can't know the future.
Right.
But, you know, they can guess things about the future. But they can know the past, and they can know your present.
Right.
They can know something going on. They may know maybe now you've been sued by somebody,
yeah,
let's say.
Your boyfriend just dumped you.
Or your boyfriend just dumped you. And the astrologer may not know this if the person hasn't said it, but the demon knows it. And the astrologer could say something,
yeah,
that indicates this, and the client is going to be like, wow, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think that's what happens a lot when we see like Sylvia Brown, who's contacting the dead.
Yes,
I
agree.
That's exactly what's happening there. I mean, she may come up with a name, but I think it's because a demon knows.
Exactly. And Sylvia Brown is usually, when she's speaking about a lot of stuff, it's about the pet. Well, when she's talking, if she's claiming to talk to a dead person's relative, I mean, a person's dead relative, it's going to be about the past. Well, oh, he loved, you know, he loved sailing.
Right.
You know, and the person will say, yes, you know, he had a sailboat. Well, a demon could know that.
Right, right.
And when
right.
she says things about the future, it's usually very general, or it's, or we're not going to know if she's right or wrong.
Right.
You know, like I've seen people ask her, well, am I going to succeed in my new business? I just started a new business. And she'll say, yeah, at first, you know, it won't go that well, but in 2 years you'll be making a lot of money. Well,
yeah,
who's going to go check in 2 years to see if she was,
yeah,
right, you know?
Yeah.
So you can, there are things you either, maybe that person may know, but we're probably not ever going to know, people who watch the show. So, but I think the information about the present and the past is can be given from demonic sources. That's how psychics, I think psychics,
yeah,
work, and other people, palm readers, tarot card readers, astrologers. And I did feel guided through the chart when I was doing the chart. I did feel almost always, there were a few times that I didn't feel that, but almost always I felt that I was being guided through the chart, so I would know where to go in the chart next.
And you explained in your testimony that you had a spiritual guide, which you now know,
right,
to be a demon.
Right. I did have a spiritual guide that I had been introduced to in a guided meditation back in the 70s in a class called Inner Light Consciousness. And I do believe that that was a demon, and that he possibly was helping me when I was doing these charts.
This brings me to my last question, which should be a no-brainer. Why is it dangerous to get involved in astrology?
I think it's dangerous because you are opening yourself up to, first of all, something that God has condemned. And so anytime we do something God's condemned, it's not going to be good. Let me put it that way. You're not going to have a good result, whatever the result is. You're going to, if you're a Christian, you are affecting your walk with the Lord and your relationship with the Lord. And gradually, and I have talked to Christians who started going to psychics or astrologers when they felt they couldn't get answers from God, like they said they prayed and couldn't get answers.
Yeah.
This is exactly what Saul did. He couldn't,
yes,
get an answer, and he went to the medium at Endor.
Right.
And what happened in the cases of the Christians I have talked to is that they stopped going to church. They stopped reading their Bible. They hadn't prayed in a long time. And you can just see, you know, and the funny thing is that they were hardly aware of that until I pointed it out to them. And, you know, I asked them, well, have you been going to church? Have you been reading your, no, I used to read my Bible. And I'll stop them and say, now think about what you just told me.
Right.
Since you started going to this psychic, you've stopped reading your Bible. I said, isn't that telling you something?
Right.
And of course, if you're not a Christian, I think you're really opening yourself up to demonic influence, not necessarily possession. Everybody thinks, oh, it's possession, but demonic influence is just as bad. And in fact, in a way, it's worse because it's more subtle. And you are guided in these ways, and you're accountable for it, but you're being guided in ways that are going to lead you away from the truth.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Masha Montenegro, for joining me today to talk about astrology.
Thank you.
That will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye. And God bless. The preceding show has been sponsored by Giving an Answer with your host, H.C. Felder. So you can hear this broadcast as well as other episodes by visiting us online at givinganswer.org. You can also order a CD or a DVD of the studio recording by calling me at 704-248-7840. And remember, this show will only stay on the air if people continue to help us buy airtime. So I encourage you to consider making a tax-deductible financial donation to this ministry. That phone number again is 704-248-7840. And be sure to join me again next time on Giving an Answer.